And good Wednesday morning, live from RKGGF Studios here in downtown Coffeyville. I'm Sam Speck. Glad you are with us. Just like so many other Wednesdays, it's the K-State Research and Extension offices. Kylie Ludwig and Jacob Weber joining us here this morning. Kylie, Jacob, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Kylie, I haven't seen you in a little while. How you been doing?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Very cool. Jacob, good to see you back here in studio as well. We got that story out last week about sudden oak death, and I'll tell you what, people were all over it. It was good news to get it out there as well, and at least educate people about the rhododendrons, correct?
Rhododendrons.
Infected
rhododendrons, and I'm sure a lot of folks probably aware of that now. Any rhododendron purchased this year in the local store, certain stores. Those that were supplied by a nursery out of Oklahoma, those rhododendrons were infected. Doesn't mean anything bad about the nursery. It means that somehow that disease got into their system and infected a group of plants, and then it was identified. Surprised everybody. But hopefully anybody that has purchased a rhododendron, not azalea, but a rhododendron, this spring from like Walmart stores or the Home Depot store in Pittsburgh, those rhododendrons should be destroyed. And if you need to, contact us at the Extension office. We'll get you more information about it.
Absolutely. Well, again, just good to have the information out there. We've seen it, as Jacob described last week, we don't know what it's going to do in our area, but we've seen what it did on the West Coast, and that's the last thing that we want to, start.
We don't want that problem here.
Not at all. Yep. Not at all. So let's kind of talk about some things that you've been, hearing a little bit about, and this time of the year with bagworms as well. So
bagworms, it's that time of the year to be thinking about them. And okay, ready to go on it?
Let's go. Let's roll. I'd say let's get right into it.
Bagworms, typically you see them on junipers, or a lot of folks call it cedar trees. Also on arborvitae, and in particular one spruce, Colorado blue spruce. They love that particular plant. Bagworms look like Christmas tree ornaments when they're fully grown and they wiggle around on the tree. Huh. There's a one-year life cycle. There's one generation per year. Eggs are laid in the fall, late summer, early fall, inside the bag. Eggs hatch in the spring. When temperature warms up and things start to green up, egg hatch has occurred, beginning probably in mid-May to late May through early June. Those worms are out there. They're tiny. They're small. You don't notice them right now. Excellent time to eradicate them. One thorough application of any of the residual type insecticides, those that remain active on the plant to be consumed by the worm. The worm eats foliage, so if you get this foliage sprayed and this insecticide stays there, they're very easily killed at this stage because they're so small, they're very vulnerable. And it does take a thorough spray because those worms are thoroughly dispersed throughout the plant. And it takes a high-pressure spray to get the insecticide into the plant itself. Not only should the infested plant be sprayed, but also any other landscape plants in the your yard that are host plants, which can include deciduous trees. I've seen them on crabapple and maples. They also have seen them on eastern white pine. And probably a good many other trees are very susceptible as well. Seen them on roses. That was unusual. And they'll consume the foliage there too. So, but since it's a one-year life cycle, we target the spray application right about the 20th of June, which is
tomorrow. It is.
Okay.
It is. Well, I was going to ask too, are they destructive towards the plant? Sounds like, is it more foliage that they kind of munch on, or do they bore, or what do they do to the plant?
They're strictly foliage feeders. Okay. And they don't even eat the veins on the deciduous trees. Now, for the most part, they wouldn't be a serious issue, except that the plants that they feed on, the junipers and the arborvitae and the spruce, that's results in significant damage. And oftentimes, those plants, part of the plant or branches die as a result. unfortunately, they're not capable of controlling the cedars out in the pastures. I don't know why they only pick on landscape plants, but they're out there too. Yep. It's just that they're controlled naturally as well. I did a little calculation in my head. A female bagworm, she never leaves that little cocoon that she's in, or you could call it cocoon, and she's capable of laying 1,000 eggs. Half of the bags on the tree are probably going, on average, are going to be female. But I did some thinking in my head. Okay, if you have one female bag on the tree producing 1,000 eggs, say half of those survive and produce active worms, that's going to be the following spring is going to, well, that summer, there'll be 500 bagworms on the plant. 250 are going to be female, say 200 of those survive, and they produce another 500 worms each, and that's 500 times 200. That's 10,000, I believe, 10,000 worms.
So it could really spiral out of control.
In the second year, it's going to be 10,000 worms on that plant. That's how fast they can multiply and can result in some significant damage.
Wow. I mean, it is, I was going to ask as well, because, like you had mentioned, it just sounds like one thorough spray kind of gets them for the year, but if you don't manage it that 1 year, two years, three years, it could be drastic.
If you miss one, you miss one female bag, then you're going to be back in the same boat in a very short period of time. So thorough spray is very important. And then every year, just always check for bagworms. Start checking early to mid-June and just look for them. And they're fairly small right now, and they're kind of hard to see almost until you know what you're looking for. And then all of a sudden, you can see them all over the place.
Absolutely. Well, it does look like we have somebody on the line with a question here. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for Jacob or Kylie?
Yes, good morning. When is it good to trim off the iris and the peonies?
You want to cut off all the foliage?
Yeah.
On your peonies, I would say wait till about the end of September, maybe mid-October. On iris, some folks get tired of how sad they look during the summer. I'd say wait until they look ugly enough, and then you can trim it off. They're going to start new growth cycle here late summer, and that new foliage in the fall is you don't want to trim that off. But it's optional on iris. They're kind of hard to kill. I would definitely trim off the dead flower stalks. It makes it look a lot better, and any foliage that looks particularly bad, you can trim it off as well. It's not an absolute requirement that you trim it off. It's just more cosmetic, just to make it look better. But it doesn't benefit the plant, let's put it that way, that much. I guess you might say some of that foliage is infected with iris leaf spot, and by removing that damaged foliage and possibly burning it or burying it deep, that may help clean up the patch a little bit, but it's not absolutely necessary. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in. And again, if anybody out there does have a question, it is 620-251-6909. We'll get you in here. As Jacob, just kind of one last question. I think someone answered my question a little bit earlier here, but it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they kind of target trees more, but say that there's surrounding plants and foliage around it. Would it be safe to spray those as well for the bagworm prevention? Or
mainly it's going to be certain landscape trees and some shrubs. Okay. That's mainly annual plants. You don't need to worry about it. Sometimes it's possible to see bagworms crawling around on the ground, and you think, okay, why are they on the ground? They typically have cleaned up all the foliage on their host plant, and they're starving, and they're looking for something to eat, so they start crawling around. I see them crawling on the side of houses looking for something to eat.
Not my paint.
No, they won't eat paint. They're just can be a real nuisance at times. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, well, again, it's like Jacob had mentioned, June 20th, kind of around that time, and that is tomorrow, so bagworms could start to popping up. Maybe not apparent right now, but maybe a good time to do some spraying. as well. So real quick, just a couple of notes here, and then Kylie, we'll kind of get into this. I'd like to really hit on this in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll go through it in detail, and we'll give a preview here. But Jacob, in the last couple of weeks, I haven't really asked you, how's the garden doing?
My garden's doing fairly well.
Good.
And but
the weather evening out a little bit now. So.
It's pretty wet.
Yeah, it was wet. I mean, my goodness.
Staying ahead of the weeds can be an issue, but my garden's fairly clean right now because I got out and got that taken care of. Keeping up with the tomato plants, I got them on trellises and keep them tied up and pinching the suckers so I don't get too many branches on the tall indeterminate type tomato plants that I grow. Better Boy, I guess, is the variety I have. And so I'm still waiting for the tomatoes to ripen. Some people are already probably picking their tomatoes, but I'm behind on that.
Yeah.
Onions are flopping. That means the tops are laying over. The onions are maturing. The lettuce is done. It's matured. I got to get that cleaned out. And things are moving along. My sweet potato plants are slow this year. They're really slow. They like hot weather. And
it has not been, really.
It has not been. It's been wet and cool, and they're just saying, okay, I'm waiting for summer. And I guess summer will get here, I'm sure.
There you go.
And we'll be praying for rain again, maybe.
Well, and I didn't even think about it either. As much rain as you get, you know, as much as it promotes growth, also the weeds out there as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I got to stay on top of that. Real quick, Kylie, just kind of give us a 30-second, you know, just brief overview of what this is here. It looks like we're trying to keep kids safe this summertime, yeah?
We are. It's warm. Well, we want it to be warm outside.
Absolutely.
We're not quite there
summertime,
yet,
come on.
Yes, there's a lot of water activities in the summertime, so I want to give you some information on how to keep your children safe. There's a lot of heat-related illnesses, heat strokes, you know, animals in cars, kids in cars, and how to keep them safe there, too.
Absolutely.
And even playing on playgrounds. There's a lot of injuries that happen that way, and kids end up with concussions or get hurt. And so hopefully we can keep them. These tips will help with keeping them safer.
Absolutely. Well, and we'll have, again, more on that here coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. If you'd like to listen back to this segment, just go onto the main screen of our website at kggfradio.com. Again, Kylie Ludwig and Jacob Weber. We'll check in with you guys in just a moment.
Okay.
Here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Again, you can listen back to that on the main screen of our website at kggfradio.com underneath the community tab here on this Wednesday morning. We'll be back with K-State Research and Extension Offices after the news here on AM 690.